Welcome to Career Tools. This week, open to opportunities. The questions this class answers are, what does open to opportunities mean? Why is being open to opportunities important? And how can I keep my search confidential and still be open to opportunities? One of the things we've discovered now we're all working remotely is that management is really hard if you didn't have a practice, a really strong management foundation to start with. Remote work just makes stuff harder. And we're all busier, and finding time to learn that management foundation is harder too. Manager Tools has video for our Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, and Effective Hiring Manager trainings, split into tiny 5 to 10 minute videos that you can fit in anytime. Like maybe next time you're waiting for a Zoom meeting. Management will become way easier if you have a strong foundation, and that's what we can teach you. Go to managertools.com/products and look for video. Open to opportunities does not mean you're looking for another job, just to be really clear. Like, you can be absolutely happy where you are, see a future there, not have no thoughts about leaving at all, and still be open to opportunity. Like, you can be happy and be open to opportunity. They're not in opposition to each other. Those two states are, it's possible to be in both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very few of us would say there's somewhere, this is the place where I will never leave, right? If somebody came along and offered you $1 million to do this job somewhere else, would you take it? Yes. That's why you're open to opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
If you can think of a dream job, a dream location, a dream boss, a dream something else, then you are open to opportunities, even if you're super happy where you are. So like I always say, this is my last job, unless Mark fires me, because I can't think of a better job than this one. This is where I want to be. But for I'm like 0.5% of the population. And for most everybody else, you should be open to opportunities is a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. And today we're going to describe how to do that. So we're going to talk about how to change your thinking, take the call, have your resume ready, and if not you, who?
And most of us think of the job search process as a binary thing. You're either looking or you're not looking. And that's where we go wrong. It's not looking or not looking. There's a whole range of things in between. And the way we describe that is open to opportunities. And I can hear, if you can hear popping, I don't know if Paul's going to be able to get rid of it. If you can hear popping, I live right near a gun range and there's a competition. And so I can hear the popping of the hitting the clay things. What do you call them? Clay pigeons. So if you hear that, I'm sorry, we can't make it go away. And we wanted to get this cast out while it was something that people would be thinking about.
It's like Mark's rooster, right? We're in very rural areas, if you can't, well, not anymore, maybe, but
yeah.
It's guns and roosters. Yay.
Texas.
Texas.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So there's true looking, which means you've decided I need a new job, which people do in December and August, by the way. December, because they get to the end of the year and they think, I can't go back to that job, or I don't want to go back to that job, or New Year's, new start. That's why the job market is really liquid in January. There's a lot of people moving. And the same happens at the end of August, September, because of the new school year has the same kind of effect. It's not as big as it is in January, but it's the same kind of effect. And so that's when people move from I'm happy to I'm looking. But you, I mean, if you did that, you only have 2 months of the year where you're looking at possible new jobs. So for the other 10 months, when perfect opportunities that you would jump on that you don't even think about come up, you don't see them because you're not open to opportunities. You think, I'm not looking, so I'm not gonna read that post that somebody else put on their LinkedIn page about the new job that they're hiring for because I don't want a new job. And that could be an amazing opportunity, and you've just missed it because it won't be open in January.
Right. So you just want to change your mindset. Instead of thinking of yourself as not looking, you just think of yourself as open to opportunities, which again doesn't mean you're, you know, unhappy where you're at. It just means that you're maybe open to something really awesome. And it increases the chances of getting new and better opportunities if you're open to them. For one, because you'll notice when they happen, right? You'll at least see them. And you'll probably know people who always, well, everyone probably knows people like this, but you probably know people who always seem to have the next big thing dropped in their lap, right? And those people probably aren't smarter or more knowledgeable than you, though they do probably have a better network. They're just open to opportunities. They're just, you know, considering opportunities, even though they're happy where they are. So here's one scenario. An acquaintance mentions that they got a new job and they've been authorized to bring on 3 new team members. And your acquaintance is complaining a little, asking where are all the good electrical engineers, because the resume he's seen have been on average at best. A normal reaction would be to kind of commiserate, like, oh yeah, that's terrible, bummer, dude. But an open to opportunities reaction would be to say, actually, it sounds like a great opportunity. Can you tell me more? Maybe I can help. And so those are just 2 different approaches. Your acquaintance would not have mentioned an opening you could fill if he were not considering you as a possible applicant. And you're supposed to know that. This is not to say that asking more about the job is you applying or pressuring him to interview you, or saying you'd be willing to take that job if you were offered it. It's literally being willing to have the conversation that might lead to a new role should it come up.
It's like someone saying, oh, I'm thinking about selling my car. And you saying, oh, really? What kind of car is it? Maybe I know someone. And them saying, oh, it's a Ferrari. And you saying, the only person I can think of right now is like an 18-year-old that just passed a driving test. I don't think a Ferrari is right for them. But if I find someone, I'll let you know. Right? That asking more about what the car is in no way saying I'm interested in buying it. And nobody would think it was. Somehow, when it comes to jobs, we think, I guess because it has more emotional, you know, it has more consequences, maybe. But we tend to think, oh, I can't ask about a job that I might not be interested in. Well, you can ask about it. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's in no way selling yourself or anything.
Right.
And also your friend just might think that you're interested in listening to their story, which people appreciate, right?
Yeah, and you know, you can be a service to your network and that person by saying, all right, I'll think about that. And then, finding someone else who's an electrical engineer that would fill that role, or at least we'll talk to the hiring manager about it, or your friend. So here's some other ways that this might happen, where you are supposed to know that there is an opportunity that could be discussed. For example, someone more senior than you in the organization says, have you ever considered a role in customer service or sales or operations or some other division? They're not telling you you're doing badly where you are. They might be. if you have had a bad performance review or your boss keeps telling you you're doing things wrong, then yes, they're trying to find another role for you somewhere else. But if you're doing well, then that question is them being able to see a potential move for you and trying to gauge your interest in at least talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some acquaintance asks, how do you feel about living in Fargo?
No, not Fargo.
Wichita Falls, which is one of my favorite places. How do you feel about living in Chicago or San Francisco or somewhere where you don't live?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's a question of trying to gauge your interest in moving to a new city, which means a new job, right? Mm-hmm. They must be asking for that reason. And a recruiter that you know asks, what's your current situation? Like, they don't need to know your current situation unless they have an inkling that there's something else that they want to talk to you about. It's a kind of soft opening. A friend says, the VP of something was asking about your resume the other day. If a VP or someone senior is asking about your resume, they want to know your career history. And the only reason they want to know your career history is to know if you have the experience to go somewhere else, to do something else, to fill something they're thinking about. And again, you know, if you're getting poor performance reviews, then it could be, I want to see their resume because I can't believe they ever got this job. But if you're listening to this, you're probably not in that situation. And so it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Someone may ask if you're willing to speak to an individual, a group, or a team about a subject that you're knowledgeable in. Someone may ask you to do that, which is them kind of giving you that soft opening again. Someone in HR might say, do you know such and such a person? If you don't, you should get to know them. That's another, it's like a connection thing, right? It's like another networking place where that might be another soft opening for you.
Yeah. Why else would they suggest you get to know that person unless it's beneficial to you and the organization?
Mm-hmm. Someone may say, I need to fill a role as a blank, which is whatever's next for you. Do you know anyone? Like, do you know yourself?
Right, exactly. You're a project manager and I'm looking for, I need to fill a role as a program manager. Do you know anyone? Right? The question is obvious, right?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'm ready for a program manager next, but I'd need to know more. And you know who else is? This person and this person.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Don't just suggest yourself. That's super self-serving. Suggest some other people as well.
Yeah, because these are gentle, indirect approaches that are used to find out if you're interested in even talking about a new role. And the smart thing to do is to say, tell me more and learn more about the situation, the position, the location, things like that. You may be happy in your current role. And consider this. If someone came up to you tomorrow and offered you twice your current salary for the same job, the same hours, would you at least want to have the conversation? Probably yes. You'd have to be insane not to want to discuss that. And that's what open to opportunities means. It's not a commitment. It's not saying you don't like your current role, can't see a future there, or that you're actively looking. It's simply saying, if someone wants to talk to me about a great job, I'm willing to listen to that. And I think, I mean, even if you're in your perfect role, if someone came and said, hey, do you want to crew my sailboat and I'll pay you $1 million a year to sail me around.
Right.
I would probably say yes to that. Even though this is my perfect job, I would say, yes, I would be willing to do that.
I would be willing to talk about it at least.
Yeah.
And when you hear those things where people say, oh, 80% of jobs aren't advertised, well, 80% of jobs people never interview for. This is how that is happening. This is people asking, making these soft openings, making these connections way before, often before the job's description exists, often before they've even asked HR. You know, maybe it's just a conversation between a manager and his boss, like, I can see demands going up. By this time next year, we're going to be at capacity. We need to think about recruiting now. So they are literally in that, like, oh, we'll think about, do we know anyone? What's our bench? How can we make those connections? Way before they've applied for the rec or submitted the paperwork to HR or put the advertisement out, you know, and then they say, you know, the manager comes up to you and says, hey, we're looking to expand next year. Have you thought about joining our team, or would you consider joining our team, or do you know anyone? And then that process happens in the next couple of months, and it's still way before recruitment would have happened.
Yeah, this is how your network gets you a job that wasn't even advertised.
Raise your hand if you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing today without looking at a piece of paper or one of your devices. Okay, keep your hand raised if you know exactly what you're supposed to be doing a week from today without looking. If you did, unless you're going on vacation, we'd call you crazy. No one is supposed to keep all of that in their head. And a 9-month rollout of the management trinity, along with all of the other things you're supposed to be doing, there's no way that's even possible, let alone desirable. That's why we created Roadmap, part of the Manager Tools app that gives you gentle reminders to roll out and action the trinity. Get all the benefits of effective management without taxing your brain. Who doesn't want that? Roadmap comes with a personal license or our effective manager client training. Visit managertools.com to find out more.
Okay, next, take the call. When a recruiter, hiring manager, or someone from HR calls, pick up the phone or return the voicemail. This is not a betrayal of your current manager or employer. It happens all the time at the senior levels of organizations. It's the more junior people who tend to shy away for fear of being thought traitorous. And please don't let your fear keep you from discussing these things. And even if all you do is think of it as keeping your network warm, please don't let your fear help you engage in behaviors that are likely to be beneficial to your career, maybe not right now, and maybe in the future, because you're not making any commitment by simply having the conversation. And you know that inherently when you think about job search processes, because the first 10 conversations often don't lead anywhere, right? So if you're aware of the fact that interviewing is hard and a lot of them don't come to fruition, then you know that even having a conversation where you're not even interviewing is a part of the process that doesn't guarantee that you would take the job. Up until you say yes to the offer, there's no guarantee that that job is going to come to fruition.
For you or for them.
Exactly.
Right? And we kind of know that. Like, we know that until we have something, we have nothing. Until we have an offer, we don't have the job. And yet we don't think of it the other way, that until we have the offer, the company has nothing, in a sense, right? The job is either offered and filled or it's empty. And it stays empty until that point.
Mm-hmm. Often this type of conversation will take place over coffee, breakfast, lunch. They just want to chat.
Not in COVID times, obviously.
Yeah. But Zoom coffee, I guess.
Yeah, right.
You can be seen out with a recruiter after COVID. You don't have to go to choose to meet somewhere that you know no one from work will ever go. That's not necessary. On the other hand, don't broadcast it. Don't volunteer to your boss that you're meeting with a recruiter. There's no need, as long as you're doing it outside of work hours and outside of your place of employment. Some bosses will misinterpret you volunteering that information as being a subtle way of saying you're unhappy in your current role, which could lead to all sorts of negatives. So have the conversation and keep that conversation to yourself in a way that is respectful of its purpose, which is just trying to learn more. If all you're doing is learning more, you might discover that it's a colleague who would be great for that role. So if you're asked about the meeting, though, you can say, to be clear, I'm not looking for a change, and I'm always open to talking with recruiters or hiring managers from other firms. I found it helpful in the past to keep up with the state of the hiring market to help with recruiting and retention for my own organization and to help people in my network who are looking for a change. I consider it part of keeping my professional knowledge up to date.
Yeah. Which is all true.
Yeah.
Right? You are going to meet with someone to get some information. And knowing the state of the employment market in your area, in your role, one of the things we've said before is that the employment market is very lumpy, in that if you look at the headline unemployment rate, is I think it's about 10% right now. Okay, so that's all of the jobs that they cover when they do the headline unemployment rate, which is only about 80% of jobs. And it's all of the jobs in all of the US. But if you look at software engineers in San Francisco, the unemployment rate is nowhere near 10% because there isn't enough of them. And so just because the unemployment rate is 10% doesn't mean that in your industry, in your specialism, in your location, unemployment is high or low or in any way matches that number. And so meeting with a recruiter or a hiring manager or someone else who can give you information about the state of the market is useful, because if you're trying to hire or trying to retain the people around you, or you're trying to help your network, you have to know what it's like in the microcosm that you're in. You can't just read the Wall Street Journal and go, oh, the headline rate's 10%, so I guess when we want to hire, there'll be loads of people, because that might not be the case in your industry, your specialism, and your location.
Mm-hmm. If you have the meeting and there's a chance that you would be interested in a role that you and the recruiter discussed, don't say, I'm not looking for a change. Even though you can accept a job offer when you haven't been actively looking for a change, a manager will look back on you saying, I'm not looking for a change, and think that you lied when you later accept that other offer. So just don't say it.
Yeah. So you start with, I'm always open to talking with recruiters or hiring managers from other firms.
Right. So take out that first bit of the, you know, when you're asked about the meeting script. Don't worry, though, about that meeting a recruiter implies to them that you are definitely interested in moving. Recruiting is a sales job, and salespeople don't expect every person they meet to buy what they're selling. You're just a prospect, and they meet 50 prospects a day, and only one or two of those will turn into placement. So don't worry either about the recruiter's expectation of you, because their job is full of people who don't turn into sales of roles and positions.
Yeah, and there's way worse things that you can do to a recruiter than have a conversation and then say, do you know what? I don't think I'm interested in what you have. No, like promising to turn up to an interview and then not going, or promising to turn up to a job and not going.
Oof.
Yeah, had both of those happen to me.
You have to have your resume ready. So that's our last note. Oh, no, it's not our last note here. It's our second to last note here. Mm-hmm. Have your resume ready so that you can act on opportunities when they arise. Since you don't know that when that will be, always have your resume ready, right? We get emails all the time from people who have been offered dream opportunities out of the blue, and the happy ones are the ones who have their resume ready and prepared. So update your resume now and every 3 months, which means listing your accomplishments on your career management document and adding or amending responsibilities and accomplishments as your role changes and as you accomplish more. The CAST for that is Systemic Career Documentation, which has more details about how to do this.
Sounds really exciting, doesn't it? Systemic Career Documentation. We could have done better there, made it more exciting.
I'm actually really grateful when I find a CAST that the title matches the content, because some of our titles are not as like the quirky story.
Yes, you know, that's true.
I love that CAST, and the title isn't as helpful. Updating your resume regularly has some side benefits. Reviewing your work means that you'll be ready for your annual review, both the work that you have to do ahead of time and being prepared for what your manager might deliver to you, knowing in March, July, and October where you are against your goals will help you meet them by December. Resumes are often needed for events other than a job search as well. When a company provides services to another, the resumes of the people actually doing the work are often provided as proof that the capability to fulfill the contract exists within the team. We actually just had this yesterday. People ask all the time for blurbs and my resume because I'm presenting to them. And you might be asked to speak at an event, like I have to do a lot, even an in-house briefing on your team's work. And in that case, you might need to be providing information so that you can be introduced. And so having this information updated as things are changing and happening is great. And having your resume available for that is a really effective way of accomplishing giving people that information. So,
and you can always tell when somebody's just updated their resume in a hurry. Like, so if you say to someone, hey, can I see your resume? And they say, yeah, I'll get it to you tomorrow. You can tell that they worked on it overnight, because there's like 3/4 of it is nice and perfect and spelt right and it's all matching and so on and so forth. And then there's the paragraph at the top that just looks like it was done in a hurry. So yeah. No. And it's weird how often a resume is useful. Even outside work, you know, like positions like the PTA chair or the HOA, you know, community resident representative, something like that. You're often asked about your background, and a resume is a really effective way of providing that. So sometimes it's not, can I see your resume? Sometimes it's like, oh, can you tell us about your background? And then you can use a resume to do that.
Yeah. What I find really helpful is if you update it all the time, if something good or bad happens, it's already ready, because there are a few things more disheartening than being laid off or being furloughed and having to update your resume, right? But if you'd been keeping up with it, it's ready and gives you kind of an extra boost of confidence.
Yeah, because if you're laid off and you're struggling, you know, you're laid off on Monday and you think, I really, really need a job, but it's going to take me 3 days to do my resume, then you can't get started till Friday. Whereas if it's already ready, you can start sending stuff out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. We look at people's resumes all the time. And every time I ask for someone's resume, it takes 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's never ready. And I'm fine with it taking 24, because you want to check it for typos because you haven't looked at it. Mm-hmm. And I'm you know, benefit of the doubt, maybe you haven't looked at it in 2 weeks and you just want to make sure. And it would be really impressive to ask someone for their resume and say, oh, yeah, I could just email that right now or email it right after this call and get it within an hour and know that it was ready, right? That would be impressive.
Super impressive, yeah. So the last part is, if not you, who? And this is a question that's often asked of senior people about internal roles. So what happens is a VP or a senior VP role becomes open, and the people underneath the VPs are all asked, who do you think should fill that role? And in this case, the answer is not me, because they're being asked because they're potential candidates. The answer is to suggest someone else and tell the person asking why you think they should fill that role. The translation of the question is, we know you want the job. It's obvious that if you've made it to VP, the next thing is senior VP. So since there's a vacancy, it's obvious you want it. And it would be boring of us, or it would be not helpful of us, to ask you about yourself, because we already know about you. And we're not going to leave this thing to one interview with you. We want to find out who else can do this job. And what they're thinking is, you could go into an interview and say, I'm awesome, I can do this senior VP job. And then say, okay, fine, we'll offer it to you, you take the job. But none of the people on your level support you. None of them think you should have got the job. And at that point, your job becomes really, really difficult. So the smart thing to do is for them to poll everybody and say, hey, who do you think should do this job? And when John comes up 5 times out of 6, they're like, all right, now we'll interview John, because we know that if we put him in this position, he will have the backing of everybody.
Yeah. But we really want to know is, among all these high performers that we could choose from, which one stacks up the best in the eyes of those people with whom she might have to work or even lead? Who will be the best manager and leader of the people who want this job and don't get it? And that's what that question is meant to suss out. The executive is expected to be able to make a judgment about the role and the available candidates and make a recommendation. And the ability to discuss a job opening, assess the requirements, assess the potential candidates relative to strengths and weaknesses is an important management and executive skill, which you can demonstrate that you have by recommending 1 or 2 suitable candidates for them to talk to. So that's your responsibility, and you're demonstrating your ability to do it should it ever be, you know, part of your role.
Yeah. And so this is mostly at senior levels, but you can still answer it that way at a more junior level. Even if you're an individual contributor, if the question is, would you move up to manager? The one step that everybody is scared of is managing their former friends. Mm. And that's why the first step to management is always the scariest. Because after you've done it once, you don't worry about it. So knowing that your former friends will support you as manager is a really good thing when you want to make that move.
Mm-hmm.
And so the majority of the time, the role that a recruiter or a hiring manager, however this conversation comes about, the majority of the time, that role won't be interesting enough to you to move. It won't be enough money. It won't be where you want to live. It won't be quite the right job. It won't be for the manager you want to work for, whatever. There's a million reasons why. And so the other good thing about recommending someone else is that you're adding to the bank account of the favor bank account of the person you're talking to. You're doing them a favor by saying, oh, well, you know, I can't move to San Francisco. My kids are in school. It's not my thing right now. But hey, I heard John, he's always wanting to move to San Francisco. And he and I work together well. He's really good at his job. So talk to him. And now you've done a favor for the person who has the role, and you've done a favor for John too.
Yeah, that's all good news, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being open to opportunities is not an indictment on the role you currently have. You have a duty to yourself to have the best career you can have and being where you can contribute the most in any given moment. That means that being aware that other opportunities is important and actively dismissing the choice to leave where you are might come into play. Being aware of opportunities allows you to also benefit others in your network, meaning that they too can contribute to their maximum ability as well. All you have to do is take the call.
Yeah, it's easy. Just take the call and have a chat.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We hope that you'll be working on your resume before we put out next week's Career Tools Cast.